to tonight.
Matthew chapter 2. We'll read the passage and then we'll kind of go back through it a little bit. Matthew chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor. Thou shalt rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. While they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. God, thank you for your word, and thank you for sending your son to die for us. Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we look to worship you tonight again, Lord, as we study this passage again, may we see ourselves in it. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray if someone here tonight is not saved, Lord, I pray that you give us liberty within the service to expound on the gift of salvation. Lord, we look to you for wisdom and guidance. Lord, we love you tonight, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what I would consider pretty familiar of a story around Christmas time. We're either reading in Luke chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2, and here we have the birth of Christ. He's been born, and now we have the arrival of the kings of the east. Now, if you had a nativity scene back at home, maybe mom or dad when you were a kid, or maybe you have one now, you'll have Joseph, and you'll have Mary. You'll have little baby Jesus, maybe a couple farm animals. You'll have some shepherds maybe, and maybe a couple kings or two or three kings on the side. Now, nowhere in the scripture does it say that there were three kings, but they did bring three gifts, so maybe a king per gift. I don't know. But it doesn't say. But we certainly know that there were kings. We'll read verse 1 again. "And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" Here we have some wise men. Wise men coming. Now let's think about this. We have some men that left their homes, traveled, doesn't tell us how far, but they left their homes, they saw a star in the sky, they left everything, dropped it all, grabbed a couple gifts, we'll talk more about the gifts in a few minutes, and traveled Well, we don't know. Maybe it was hundreds of miles. It says from the east. How far east? I don't know. Doesn't say. But these wise men came. These wise men left what they had. Now, we know that they're wise. Why? Because the Bible calls them wise. So, these wise men left what they had. They get on a camel or a donkey or a horse or some sort of travel animal and travel, again, maybe hundreds of miles to see what? A child. At my son's 2-year-old birthday, no one was knocking on the door, some great philosopher, some great teacher, some wise man, and saying, "I want to see the little boy." Nobody. I mean, of course, parents and uncles and aunts and all that. But why would wise men want to go see a little boy? What did the little boy have to offer wise men? Some bit of knowledge? No, not at all. No, they knew that this young child was special. See, the wisdom of men in no way compares to the wisdom of God. And these men, although they were designated as wise, they knew that appearing that day in Jerusalem, now that's where they traveled to Jerusalem, get to Bethlehem, that this young child had something far better than what they had. The Bible compares the wisdom of man towards the wisdom of God, and they say it's honestly no comparison. Our wisest, our brightest, our most intelligent men pale in comparison to a 2-year-old little child, Jesus Christ. See, the wisdom of man versus the wisdom of God is far different. The wisdom of man dictates and says one thing. This is the course and the path for your life. And well, the wisdom of God, as we just heard in that last song, is significantly different. It's to love your neighbor. It's to love God. And that's what God says. And that's what God demands. And these wise men came and they traveled and they left their wisdom to come fall down at the feet of a child. Could you imagine the brightest of philosophers and the brightest of teachers and professors would come and kneel down before a 2-year-old child? That's exactly what happened in our story here tonight. To which I say, maybe they were wise men. To acknowledge that the ways of God far exceed my ways is wise. And if you're here tonight and you feel like you have all the answers and you know exactly what's going on, can I help you with something? The ways of God far exceed what we can see and what we know. And we need to come like these wise men and exchange our wisdom for the wisdom of God. In verse 4, let's look at verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. How did they know where he was going to be born? Well, we studied this a couple weeks ago, but the scripture certainly lent itself to tell us. And they brought out the books of the prophets and said, "Oh, Bethlehem. Bethlehem is where he was going to be born." I like that King Herod had to refer to the scriptures of God to find where Jesus would be. Can I help you tonight? Say, I want to come to God, but I'm going to come to God my own way. No. The only way to find God is through His Word. Even King Herod needed to know where Jesus was. So know where he went? To the Scriptures. I need to know about Him. I need to learn about Him. But I'm going to learn my own way. I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to get to God my own way. Nope. Herod, when you wanted to get to God, what would you have to do? What would the prophet say? Ladies and gentlemen, there's no way to God outside of Christ. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's Jesus Christ alone. And it's all within the Scriptures. What did the prophets say? Well, they said that he'd be born in Bethlehem. They said that a virgin would conceive and bear a son and call his name Jesus. 700 years, 500 years before it ever happened, it was foretold. Number one, we saw wise men coming, looking for the Christ. Number two, we asked the question, what did the prophet say? Number three, let's look at verse 10. Two times this celestial entity shows up. In verse 10, again, it showed up in verse 2. It says, for we have seen his star in the east. Then in verse 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Today we did some presents at my dad's house, and my siblings and I, we exchanged names at Thanksgiving. Anybody do that? Makes it a lot easier. You can get one nice gift for everybody instead of, you know, little things. And so we did that, and my brother-in-law got me this really cool thing. It's a heads-up display for your car. You put your phone on it, and you can see through it, and it shows the GPS on it in your car as you're driving. Say, I have no idea what you're even talking about. Great. I like technology. This is cool to me. Say, why are you telling us this? Because that's what the star was. Heads-up display. Hey, which way do we go? That way. Heads-up display. We're following. And we keep walking, and we keep following. And it led them right to Jerusalem. And then from Jerusalem, it leads them right to Bethlehem. What did it do? It led them right to Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this tonight? That God is doing something in your life right now, and He's trying to lead you to Him. Sometimes He uses disasters to make us look up to Him. Sometimes He uses very difficult circumstances to get our attention. Sometimes He uses great blessings to get our attention. We've been praying for Rhonda's friend's brother, Matt. All of a sudden, he's very open. His sister's very open. Why? Great blessings fell on their family. He got their attention. Sometimes it takes the bottom falling out to all of a sudden look up. Some of us have been there. Some of us have walked that way. And we had nowhere else to look but up and say, God, I don't know where I'm going anymore. And all of a sudden, way in the distance, a star. Way in the distance, something that pointed us to Christ. And at the time, we didn't see it, but we took a few steps, and all of a sudden, where do we find ourselves? We find ourselves in Jerusalem. All of a sudden, we find ourselves in Bethlehem. All of a sudden, we find ourselves on December 24th, 2018, sitting in a church service, hearing about Jesus, going, how did I get here? I have no idea what I'm even doing here. Well, God uses circumstances to lead us to Him. What would have happened if those wise kings or those wise men said, I know a better way? They never would have found Christ. They had to go the way that the star was leading them. Can I tell you, God is leading you in a direction, trying to get you where? To Him. He's trying to get you to Him. If you're here tonight and you've never met Jesus Christ, if you never, like the wise men did, and they came into that place and they worshipped Him and they glorified Him and they had great exceeding joy, if you've never been saved, please understand that God is doing things in your life for one purpose, to get you to Him. He has been repeating Matthew chapter 2 in everybody's life for the last 2,000 years. The quicker we acknowledge it, the better it will be for us. So what is He doing in your life to get your attention? And will you follow? Lastly, verse 11. And when they were come in the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped Him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Some of these were spices. We're all familiar with gold. There's commercials. He went to Jared. Every kiss begins with K. We all know this, right? Ladies, they hope that their present is not big like this, 60 inches across, right? They hope their boxes are about this big. Why? Because the ladies like gold. They like diamond. They like the precious stuff. You know what these wise men brought? They brought the very best they could. You know what God wants from us? He wants us to give Him His very best. Say, how do I do that? You already passed the plate. I got nothing. He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. What's the most valuable thing you have? Your life. He died for you. When Jesus Christ was born, a plan had already been set in place. 33 some years later, Christ was going to die on a cruel cross and pay for our sins. And that's why He was born that day in Bethlehem. That's why they worshipped Him that day. That's why they brought the very best. Why? Because Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world. So I don't need saving, I'm good. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you can think of the most righteous, most holy person you've ever... Maybe it's grandma. Man, there was a grandma, right? And she would be sitting there and she would, as a little boy or a little girl, she would drag you to church and do it all that. Or she was always quoting the scriptures to you. She knew all the songs. Maybe there's someone like that in your life. Think of the most holy, righteous person you can. Still not good enough. Because the Bible says if we offend in one place, we're guilty of the whole entire law. Doesn't matter. If you've ever told one lie, stolen one thing, if you've ever taken the name of the Lord in vain only once, you're guilty. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Say, no big deal, I can get out of it. You can't get out of it in yourself. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Every single one of us are going to stand before the Lord and give an account of ourselves to Him. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible tells us in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have the greatest gift ever, everlasting life. See, underneath the tree, or maybe at your house or something, there's a present and you feel like maybe I deserved it. Done good this year. Maybe it's a pile of coal. I don't know. But maybe there's a present or something. Say, man, you got me exactly what I wanted. I'm so excited about that. That's a perfect gift for me today. Where's Joe? Is Joe in here? Joe. Joe got a unicycle today. What a great gift for Joe. And you think, well, yeah. If anyone would do good with a unicycle, it would be Joe. And we look at that and we go, looking under that, or opening whatever it is, and we love the gifts, but do you understand that God gave us a gift we did not deserve? Eternal life. So how do I get that? How do you get any gift? You receive it. But as many as received, John 1:12. I'm going to read it when I get there. John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Hey, if I got you a gift, Charity, what do you got to do? Simply take it. Say, I get it for her, and she doesn't take it. Does she get it? No. Even though I got it for her, if she doesn't take it, she doesn't receive it. John 1:12. How do I receive it? What does it say at the end of that verse? Believe on His name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here you are tonight. All through your life, God has put a star, something that's been drawing you to Him. And here you find yourself, for the first time, maybe having the ability to understand what sin is, understand that my sin, there's a penalty to my sin, but God has paid for that penalty when He died on the cross and shed His blood. Say, what do I have to do? How do I get out of my sin? How do I get out of the penalty of my sin? Simply ask God to forgive you. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. We have 5 children. Sometimes they're forgiving, sometimes they're not. Sorry for taking your stuff. Well, I don't forgive you, they'll say. Mom, I said I was sorry. They didn't say I forgive. Is that how God is? No. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you don't know what I've done. You don't know the forgiveness of God. He is able to forgive us of all of our sin. So if we simply acknowledge that we are sinners, ask Jesus Christ to save us, He will do that. Believing in our hearts. Completely. That's what it said in John 1:12. Even to them that believe on His name. Not join Walker Bible Baptist Church. Not put anything in a plate. Simply acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the only way for salvation. Christmas time. Everybody's dressed up in red and green. We have poinsettias out, and here you are Monday night, right? Today's Monday? Monday night in church. Say, what on earth? What am I doing here? It's Christmas. A day that we stop. Tomorrow's Christmas Day. A day, a number of days that we just stop our life and just think about Christ. The birth of Christ, the greatest gift ever given. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, humble yourself, and at the same time have some courage to say, I need Him. Do you not see the star that's been in your life drawing you to Him? He's been working your whole life to get you here right now. The wise men saw it. Do you see it? Let's all stand. With no one looking around, I'm just going to ask one question just so I can pray for you. We're not going to have an invitation. We're not going to call anybody out of their seat. I'm going to ask this one question. If you don't know, with no one looking around, honor the privacy and the of the person next to you, but if you don't know for sure, 100%, that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. If you don't know that you're saved, I'm not going to have you lift up your hand. I'm just going to have you look up at me. Say, I don't know that. Can you just pray for me? I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? All right. Appreciate that. All right. Just look at me. Okay. Everybody look at me. Everybody look up. First thing is to admit that you need a Savior. How could you be saved if you're not lost? Step one. Step two is going to take a little courage. After service, I told you, I have these. I sure would love to put one in your hand. I'm not going to come visit you at your house. I'm not going to call you every day. But I promise you, I'll pray for you. If you'd like more information about what it means to be a Christian, or you would just like one of these, I have a bunch of them. I'd love to give them away. Come see me after service. On your way in, we handed out a bunch of candles. Why don't you grab those candles?